Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the HR Room Podcast by Insight HR. Today we have another episode in our Back in Business series, guiding HR professionals through the challenges and outlook for the next stage in the world of work. Today we're joined by Brendan Ahern, Senior HR Business Partner at Clearstream, to talk about his career path so far and share some insights on crafting a career journey. Thanks for joining us, Brendan. How are you?
Thanks a million, Owen. No, absolutely brilliant. I'm delighted to be here. How are you, Mary, as well? It's great to meet you again.
Great to meet you again too, Brendan. It's been a few years. We just established before the start of the recording. So good to have you on. Thanks for agreeing.
Delighted.
As we can hear, we're also joined, of course, by Mary Cullen, Founder and Managing Director here at Insight HR. So I'll dive right in, if I may. I'll come to yourself, Brendan, first, so we can kind of kick off with you. So I suppose, can you tell us a bit about your kind of career journey so far? So you were born in Tipperary, proud Tipperary man, started as a HR generalist in Cork, I believe, and went on to climb the ladder then both in Ireland and abroad. Can you talk to us a bit about your career journey and the steps you took along the way?
Yeah, a bit of a whistle-stop tour. So I've been around the place a little bit, but I had some really exciting roles, lots of different locations I've worked in, lots of really big companies, but also smaller ones as well. So just going back to the start, I suppose, 2006, I finished my degree in Swansea. And that was a great course. Met some really good people, actually met my wife in the course. So it was very beneficial most all around. Then straight away after we finished a course, a few of us went to Dubai and taught English for a year. And that actually taught me a lot that I didn't realize. We were literally going over there just to kind of enjoy ourselves, like traveling for a year, but taught me a lot of patience, skills that I would have brought throughout my HR career. And the plan was just to go for the year. When I came back, I got an opportunity with Dunn's to join their HR team here in Cork. So the way it works in Dunn's is you go in and train under a more senior person. So I got the opportunity to do that in Douglas Court. And then after about 6-8 months, then you go out to probably a smaller store, maybe of like 100, 150 staff. I did that in Clonakilty, and I moved from Clonakilty to Macroom, Mallow, a couple of different stores around. So all in all, as with Dunn's, probably about 4 years. I wouldn't change it for the world. And I know the main topic, the main reason to talk about this is about career path and what you learn and what really skills you developed. What I learned in Dunn's in those couple of years was so vital for me and being able to take on some of the more difficult roles and more challenging roles that I did have. And I just always use this as an example. I remember I was with Dunn's only a couple of days, and the person that I was training with, couldn't sit in an induction for about, I think it was like 22 people. I'll never forget the number. And she just asked me to go in and carry out the induction for all these new starters. It was coming up to Christmas. And I'd never done anything like this before. So I went in, and it was the most daunting thing ever you can imagine. Like obviously I did presentations in college, but nothing can prepare you for, 22 eyes looking up at you and a beard being a daunting task. And that's what Dunn's did. It threw you in the deep end. And it was a real, real learning experience. You're dealing with very difficult characters, unionized, but really, really rewarding, a really, really good company. And I can't, speak highly enough about them, to be honest. But it was tough, and you got to learn all different types of the business. And another thing that I would have taken from Dunn's too is you have to understand the business as well. And in Dunn's, you have to work in all the different departments. And that was something that I really stuck to me when I left Dunn's and I went to DHL, that You have to understand the business. Don't get caught in your little HR bubble and just doing your HR pieces. You have to understand the people, the business, and what the what these companies are actually doing. And then you can really add your value. And so there were two main things I would have taken from my time in Dunn's. And I went to DHL. It was a fixed term contract in DHL. It was, to be honest with the opportunity, just a recruiter reached out to me. DHL are such a big, recognizable brand that I just took the opportunity and went there for, I think I was there just under a year or something like that, and went up to Dublin, never lived in Dublin before. So it was that experience as well, was great. Again, it was unionized. So learned so much from the HR director that was there. And I think he's still there today. And really the hardest side of HR, really, your grievances, disciplinaries, different things like that, and having to do everything really by the letter of the law. Not that I didn't before, but I mean, like, you really did need to do everything really, really properly. And preparation was key to absolutely everything, because you just don't want to find yourself in a situation where you haven't prepared for a meeting like that. And there's a few tough situations, but in DHL it was great. And actually then in all that time I ended up doing my master's in UL, and that was great, and went a lot of people that I'm still, friendly with today. And, you know, those connections are very, very important. Through one of those connections, reached out to me, and that's when I, in 2013, would have started my first stint with Taxback. So I would have went in there as a HR VP and reporting to the HR director that was actually located in Bulgaria at the time. And Taxback was a whirlwind at the time, going through a lot of change, lots of new different companies, a great company to work for in Kilkenny, great employer. They're after coming along leaps and bounds, I'd say tripling in headcount since I was there in 2013, and at that time. And lots of big projects, lots of juggling balls, lots of introduced the Great Place to Work program, which is very, very successful for Taxback. They've made the list now and last number of years. So I would have learned a lot through that, a lot of them on the engagement side. And then I started working more with different locations, not just Ireland as a location, because Taxback had at the time probably about 20 different office locations across the world. So learning different employment law and different areas of HR in different locations, which was absolutely golden to me and my career at that point. I took some time then and I went to the Middle East. A friend of mine had an opportunity. I went to Saudi Arabia and Bahrain for a couple of years to the oil and gas industry, and but I always kept in contact with Taxback, and the plan was to always go back to Taxback. And I spent a couple of years out there. It was really kind of an HR operations role, so we were kind of a manpower supplier, and we could have over 10,000 guys build into clients, whether electricians, plumbers, fitters, whatever it is, engineers, into different oil and gas plants across the Middle East. So very, very, it was tough work. It was very, very tough. It was very, very day-to-day stuff. There was some of the harder pieces to do, a lot of recruitment, high level recruitment, and getting guys over from Philippines and India. And then there would be aspects to, when you have that many people, they always have your employee relations issues and different things like that, which I was responsible for. So learned a lot there, especially from a cultural perspective, different, really face-to-face dealing with people on different cultures and that side of things. I ended up going back to Taxback then in 2017 for a couple of years, and I went in there as the HR director. Still Taxback was going through still lots of change, lots of growth, that time hugely beneficial, just that step up and dealing a lot more with the board and dealing a lot more with the CEO and CFO and a lot more kind of higher level strategic pieces, and absolutely amazing time. And as we kind of touched on before we kicked off here today, And as I briefly mentioned at the start of my Whistletop tour, I met my wife in 2006. She's from Cork. I ended up, we decided that we wanted to settle in Cork, and that's what we did. So I was traveling up and down for a long time from Cork to Kilkenny, and it just was never really going to work out long term. Actually, if COVID happened earlier, I'd probably still be with TaxFac because all this work from home and all that flexibility that their employers are giving. But So I started with the company I'm with now, Clearstream. They're a part of the Deutsche Börse Group, their financial services company, headquartered out of Frankfurt in Germany. We've over 10,000 employees, just under 10,000 employees worldwide, and we have offices all over the globe. I'm there in capacity of a senior HR business partner. It's very exciting times for the company. Lots of acquisitions, lots of smaller companies coming on board. There's lots of change at the moment, but all very, very positive. We've got a really, really strong team in Cork, and work very, very close with our teams in Sydney also and in London. And an extra thing that I'm actually doing there, rather than my day-to-day pieces, which would be a lot of kind of employee relations, a lot of comp and bends, a lot of engagement, and keeping a generalist. And I've done that throughout my career. I've always kept a generalist. That's where I feel like I'll always keep it, just for variety. And that's what I like to do. I don't think I'll ever specialize in one thing over another. I like to, keep it broad and varied. But one thing I have got involved in the last while is I'm co-chair of our global diversity inclusion council, something that we are proud of and we've kicked off the last. It's just something extra I'm doing and something that I've really got my teeth into in the last couple of months. It's something that I do find is very, very beneficial for us as a group, and it's very, very well structured, and we're at the start of our journey. So it's just something extra that we're doing, that I'm doing myself, just out of a real interest in that area, So hopefully, any questions on, just let me know. But that's kind of just a general overview of, where I started in 2006 in Swansea, did my degree, very, very traditionalist kind of, a route to that. I ended up doing my master's then, as I said, and had different roles at different companies, some large companies, recognizable brands, others not, so maybe not household names or anything like that, but really, really enjoyable experiences, learned so many things throughout in each of the roles, and I just touched on some of them, so I'm happy to kind of expand in whatever way you want to.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think it's clear from your journey so far, Brendan, it's been a nice jump up the ladder, getting a nice few steps along the way. Obviously a lot of different roles, different locations, and even from what you're saying, there are a lot of different things as part of the roles as well. You say you kept a generalist, but the amount of things within HR now, things from diversity and inclusion like you're doing now, back to employee relations, all those kind of things, operation kind of things. So I think, I suppose, kind of building on that for yourself, Mary, I suppose the term HR, we know, kind of encapsulates so many different career areas, as Brendan has mentioned. It's constantly changing over time. How do you think the role of HR has changed over time, and what does a career in HR look like now, Mary?
It's probably the same as when I started out too, in that there are certain things that we as HR people are responsible for in whatever role that we take. I'm like Brendan, I'm very much a generalist, and I like that huge amount of variety in the day-to-day. I never wish to specialize in any particular area myself. And I think that's just by nature of my personality, that I like the excitement of different projects all the time. And I tend to, after a while, get bored if I'm doing any one thing for too long, and like that change and that variety. When it comes to, the future of HR and that role itself, I do think that the skills that we need have changed slightly rather than the role itself. And so the way in which we communicate with employees is changing. And I think there's probably a need for HR people to be marketeers as much as anything else. Employer brand is hugely important now, particularly with all the various sorts of flexible work options that are on offer there. We're all going to find ourselves competing for talent. and HR have a job to get out there, whatever messages they have about the organization to the employee body itself, to people out there, potential candidates, to the world at large and communities. And so I think, you know, marketing skill has become a fundamental core area that HR people need to develop. Always I talk about, you know, when you're climbing that career ladder, your ability to influence the senior team, whoever that senior team is. And that may be, if you're starting out in your career, the next level up from you in terms of the HR department. It may mean the HR director. It may mean the CEO. It is the influencing right across the organization and building your connection points. So your ability, I guess, to understand organizational politics and be able to successfully maneuver your way through them, I think is key to climbing that ladder. Because, you know, I'm sure, Brendan, you'll agree that if you, you know, if you don't have the ear of the key people in the business, then it's virtually impossible to get anything done in HR.
I completely agree. Key relationships and having those, you know, you want to put inverted commas, allies, people mm-hmm. looking out for you, you looking out for them and building that trust. That's most of your job done, really. And you have people that you can have conversations with, and you have people that you're supporting you, and you're also supporting them. It's absolutely vital. You're not going to be able to do your job effectively if you don't have those, if you don't have your allies, as we call it. You know, you need to have that support. You need to build up that trust with the key people in a company, and that is absolutely vital.
Yeah, and it's probably one of the first things that you need to do with any new role is look around you and try and establish very quickly the who's who in the organization. You know, I think everyone in HR has probably had the experience of, you know, crossing someone accidentally by not responding quickly enough to them internally. And, you know, next thing you've got a problem and someone's pulling you aside and saying, look, you know, when Mary asks you for something, you really do need to be responsive and get back to them. Otherwise, they've got the ear of the CEO and they're straight up there complaining about the responsiveness of HR or something like that. So I think it's so important from that skill set perspective that people understand in HR how to go about building those internal networks. Not everyone's good at it. You know, in HR, you tend to be a people person, but that doesn't mean you know that you need to network internally to be effective. And that doesn't mean doing everything that the senior management team want. And it doesn't mean being a yes person. You know, you very much have to challenge sometimes the thinking or the direction or challenge, you know, where the people agenda fits into a strategy or a change program or something like that, which kind of leads me then to my third point from a having the ability to stand up and be heard. So, you know, your presentation skills are key, your influencing skills are key, your ability to sell a business case and justify, you know, the spend that you want to make or initiative you want to bring. And so I'm really interested to hear, Brendan, when you talk about, you know, the project around diversity and inclusion that you're working on, you know, how it gets off the ground, how you get support for it, you know, who initiated it and where does HR fit in that?
Yeah, it's really good. It's something that has been talked about for a long time, having a more structured strategic approach to diversity and inclusion. We have over I think we've over 65 different nationalities, which is a huge amount. We've 22 alone in Cork, and then globally, I think it's about 65, yeah. So we knew, we were very lucky, Mary, to be honest. We had our one of our board of directors in Frankfurt. This is very close to her heart. And the conversation, the very early conversations, you know, was more initiated from her rather than it being a HR-driven initiative. Even though we saw the value, we were doing smaller D&I pieces throughout any calendar year. But was there an overall plan instruction? There wasn't. So we were very lucky that we didn't have to do that convincing piece that you're talking about there. So it really is led by her. So at a board level, she is the person that's you know, the face of what we're trying to do at that level, and convincing, and because ultimately that's what it is. They want to see the return on investment when you're talking, you know, company of this size, and then we put it in, we actually drafted ourselves a policy, and then what we did was around diversity inclusion and what the definitions meant for us. And then we would have reached out to all our employees, give everyone an opportunity to be part of this council. So we have 10 council members and 2 co-chairs. So I'm the representative from HR, and we have someone from communications, which is very important. And I know you touched on it there, how we brand ourselves. So somebody that's really skilled in communications, someone like Owen, who I know has done different things like this before, and how we communicate internally to our internal channels and also externally. So, and I'm there from the HR hat, as we say, which I think is really important too, because what we do has there's always a bigger picture to things that we do as well, as you know. So we put the team together about 6 months ago, and we meet every month. Our first job was to actually define what success would mean like for us, what it would look like. And so we have put about eight different KPIs around what would success look like us in the short, medium, long term. So that's 3, 5, and 10 years. And now we're starting to work on individual projects, starting to do audits on our recruitment process and what we're doing there, on our internal promotion process, how that works every quarter, because we have promotion panels every quarter, and how fair and equitable that is for everybody of all the different backgrounds. So that's really where we're at the moment. It's still new, it's still fresh, and like anything new and fresh, there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of everything behind it, but we want to really keep that going, you know. So there's a lot of positivity at the moment. So that's kind of our approach. We're very lucky. We have a really, really a good board of director that is very passionate about this, and I think that's key. And if you don't have that in the company, that maybe your convincing skills will have to really be, you know, you'll have to really use them, because that's key. It can't be a HR led thing, because it can't be, this is HR sending out emails again. It has to be led by the business. There has to be a business face to it, and it has to be a very, very well respected business. It's same as when we were doing the Great Place to Work and tax back. All of our town halls, they were led by the business. It wasn't HR doing the communications and these things, because you have to be key, and you have to be there from a support point of view, and things have to make sense, and your role is very, very vital. But the person actually delivering the messages and actually making the change needs to be a key, very, very senior internal person.
Isn't it funny, really, that, you know, HR do so much work, and we are, you know, you come front of house and front facing at times, but an awful lot of our work is silent. It's in the background, and it's supporting initiatives and making sure that things happen. And, you know, it was interesting that you made the comment, you know, not another email out from HR. How often do we hear that, you know, in HR, that, you know, that's That's from the employee body. You know, if they get that sense, here's another email from HR, you know, you don't want that image within the organization. Nobody wants that image in the organization. So it's really back down to, well, what's our brand as a HR function, as a HR department, as a HR professional, and how are we projecting that throughout the organization? I always remember one poor, unfortunate HR person that I worked with. I won't say where or what, but she misspelled her own name in a company-wide communication. And thereafter, it was just a joke constantly with anything that she did, because she had misspelled her own name. And it was just such a pity, because she was a quality, top class HR practitioner and professional that was really passionate about her job, that was unaware that she was the butt of people's jokes. But it's the how we look, how we feel, how we sound, what we say, how we say it is just so important in HR.
It is. And even what I kind of think I touched on earlier is understanding the business. If you understand the business and you understand actually what product or what you're selling or what you're doing, you can get that buy-in from your management team, directors, owners, whoever it is. You're not there as, you know, an administration function that some people may see HR as. We're there as a strategic support. We're there as, but you have to understand the business to get that, how you can actually add value to what they're doing and what the business is actually trying to sell or do or whatever they're doing. It's vital for me. You have to understand it, and then you can really, really add value.
And speak the language. You got to be able to speak the language of the rest of the business. If you're too fluffy, if it doesn't make business sense, if you're not able to present a business case, then getting that buy-in for whatever it is, or just being taken seriously, can be really difficult. So it's really interesting to hear your view on that.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, without a doubt.
I think going back to that kind of skills piece, so we talked about a lot of the various skills HR professionals needed, and we always hear tons of different characteristics thrown out there with successful HR people, things around emotional intelligence. We mentioned people person, being able to kind of challenge the business, but also knowing the business. I suppose from your career journey, Brendan, was there any other skills that kind of jumped out to you and kind of helped you on your career journey?
Yeah, there's a few. One thing, and we did kind of touch on it, problem solving. You will get the most complicated problems you could ever deal when you're working in HR, and I'm sure you get it in other departments too, and of course you do. And no job is easy. If it was, we'd all be putting our feet up and drinking our cups of tea and whatever. But in HR, when you're dealing with people, and in some of the companies I've worked in, and when there's thousands of people working there, there'll be problems will cross your desk that will always stump you, and that you'll always have to talk to your colleague. And, you know, and we're very lucky in the team I have in now. When these problems come up, we share our problem and we always talk about it. That is absolutely vital, that you have a good relationship with your team and you all trust each other and you actually all trash things out. To be a good problem solver, and when you're trying to solve problems, whether they be a small problem or a big problem, you have to think of the bigger picture when you're solving that problem. You can do a favor for somebody and not stick to policy, or, you know, we can all do those things and do something to help somebody out. But you have to think of the bigger picture when you're solving those problems. And I would have learned that through most of my time, I think, in TaxBack, through different initiatives and different things, where you might think you're solving a small problem and might have a bigger output or a bigger fallout. So that's one thing. The other thing I would say as well, that really choose your projects and what you're doing and what you're working on. Make sure they're really adding value. If you're getting buried down every day with the general, especially if you want to build your career and move up, Of course, there's administration that's absolutely key. Everyone needs to have a contract that needs to be signed. Everyone needs to have a role profile that needs to be signed. All those things have to happen. Everyone has to have an induction. I mean, that is actually the bread and butter what we do, because if somebody has a dispute down the line, they don't have a signed contract, and then you're in a bit of bother. All those things need to be done, of course they do, but they're not the things that will get seen by senior management every day. They're not the things that are really adding value from management director levels that are looking at you per se. If somebody wants to move to a career ladder, look at things that will really add value and be seen and get involved in things, ask questions. And there are two things for me that have been very key, along with what you're saying there, emotional intelligence and different things and juggling lots of different balls in HR. And we talked about that and keeping in, you know, about they're very, very generalist roles, HR. And one day, you know, you're working on maybe comp and bends, and then you do engagement, and then you're trying to deal with COVID and then moving everyone home. And then, and this new work from home plan that's coming up, when it does come, like, we'll, what are we going to do with desks and chairs and all these kind of things? So it's a very, very varied role, but there are two key things to me is around problem solving, but think of the bigger picture when you're solving those problems. And also around, you want to sell yourself and move up the career ladder. Obviously, the day-to-day tasks of HR are so important and they have to be done. But look at that for opportunities, for projects that really add value, and sell yourself and market yourself. Mary touched on, and that's what we are. We need to brand companies, but we also need to brand ourselves, you know. And that's really important. And I've been very lucky that I've had opportunities to work on such projects where I have been able to present to senior people. I have been able to give my opinion at very, very key times. And that was from me going into uncomfortable situations and really taking a chance. And that's what you have to do. You have to take a chance, get into uncomfortable situations and work on those projects that are really, really going to make a difference and really get your name out there, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and also I think it's, you know, having that look at yourself and saying, you know, well, what am I missing in terms of my skill set? You know, is there something I'm avoiding doing because I'm intimidated by it or nervous of it, or, you know, I'm not the best public speaker and I feel I need to improve my skills there, or I don't understand a certain topic or a certain area or the new tech or whatever it is. I think it's really important that you're constantly looking at yourself and saying, what else do I need to know? Who do I admire? What do other people who are moving forward in their careers have that I need to develop so I can move forward in my career too? I think it's always worth looking upwards and seeing, you know, what are the senior leaders in the rest of the business doing, and what kind of gaps are there in terms of my own knowledge. You know, if you want to talk the language of the rest of the business and you don't really understand finance, what are you doing about it? To bring yourself up to speed so you can have a credible conversation in the language that's understood in the boardroom. And I think an awful lot of HR people, they just get so caught in the day-to-day operations. And, you know, it's great to be part of a bigger team. Certainly in my career, I've held standalone roles too, where it is me, I am it, and expected to do volume recruiting or, you know, policy and procedure development, or, you know, deal with problems and issues as they arose back in the day, whatever it was. There was only one person within the organization to do it. And I understand that people can get hugely bogged down in those standalone roles, but it's so important to be able to go out there and justify what you need in terms of resources or additional resources or supports, or what you need in terms of your own learning and development to push forward. And that's another area where HR people need to maybe step away from the traditional skills and think, oh, do I need to learn something about marketing, branding, finance, IT, tech? What is it I need to be able to do?
Yeah, I think we talked a lot about the various skills that we can keep an eye out for, the various skills you can pick up on the job, even over time, and the various roles you have. I suppose to kind of bring it back to a kind of a key takeaway for people today. So imagine you're starting out your career again in HR. What are the kind of key things that people can, I suppose, consider when they're planning their career journey? I know for me personally, what I do now, I didn't do that directly in college. So I set out myself a goal to get out there, try this particular career in 3 or 4 different industries, and hopefully set myself up for success in the future. For HR people, is that a kind of a thing that they can do too? Or is it just all about just driving those skills, getting those skills that you need as a HR professional? I'll come to yourself for that one, Mary.
Yeah, I think you have to be strategic about your own career, don't you? You have to be very clear about where you want to go and what you want to achieve. And it doesn't always pan out as you plan. You know, some of the areas where I have learned the most may have been in the areas where I considered I was failing at a point in time. And I don't mean failing overall in terms of my job or my role or my career, but something might have happened in my job that was immensely challenging, where I felt at sea. But actually the greatest learning might have come from that particular thing, or where I challenged myself to step outside my own comfort zone and do something different or take a chance. I mean, I set up Inside HR over 20 years ago. And for me, from being a solid HR practitioner, you know, knew my stuff, I was good at it, you know, respected internally in the organization I had been working in at that time, and regarded. And next thing I'm out in a world where the HR skills meant very little. It was all about marketing and selling and networking and public speaking and skills I didn't have. When I started out, and I learned very quickly that, yes, I needed to have the solid HR skill and still have all those abilities to influence and all of those kind of things. But I also needed a whole range of new skills to survive in the new world I was in, because the world wasn't just going to pick up the phone and talk to me. I had to do something to make that happen. And of course, as you hire additional people and all of that kind of thing, it's different to when you hire them in your own, for your own firm. So again, I had to learn about managing people in a different way than I had done when I was managing them within my own HR function. So I think it's very much about being strategic about what you want. If your next step is to be a HR director, if your next step is to work for a large organization, if you want to move and transition between sectors, it's really interesting to see how Brendan has done that, you know, from retail to finance to oil and gas to, you know, back to finance. It's really interesting to see the way in which his career has developed and broadened with each step that he has taken. And again, where ultimately he wants to go, he'll have to make that strategic decision himself about what that is. And I'm sure you already have a plan about where you want to go next, Brendan, you know, not that I'm going to ask you on this podcast, you know, and I don't even mean out of the organization you're in, but we all have to have a plan. Where to next? What are we trying to achieve?
Of course, and you do. And it's absolutely vital that you do. You don't get too comfortable in what you're doing either. And you always have to. And we touch on a few times, take yourself out of your comfort zone and get yourself involved in things that that does make you feel, you know, a little bit uneasy. And but that's good for you. You have to do that. And I said at the start of this podcast, going into that induction in Dunn's with 22 people, that day just taught me so much. Go in, it'll be fine. I still went to bed that night and got up the next morning. Everything will be absolutely fine. And it was. And the next week I went into induction. There wasn't quite 22 in there, but there was however many people. And I was absolutely fine because I had the experience and I just jumped straight into it and I had to do it. And that's really important. But can I add as well, Mary, from what you're saying there and as well, we've touched on it when, you know, and it's kind of going back to your last question, Owen, around what advice you'd give to people maybe coming out of college and they're looking to get into HR and maybe moved up that ladder. And we've spoke about creating relationships internally and how vital that is. And I can't emphasize that enough. It's also vital when you're coming out of college that you've created those good relationships when you're in your HR degree course or your master's. Keep in contact with these people. I've got two jobs out of that because I've kept in contact with people. LinkedIn is an amazing thing. Facebook, whatever it is we use, keep in contact with these people. You don't need to be onto them every day, but like everyone that I know that I did my master's knew well, but they're all in really, really good jobs across the world. And there's lots of them. And we did projects together. And that is very, very key because you'll all help each other because you're all in the same boat. You're all in the same profession. And you understand that how hard it can be at times. And as I said, I've got two jobs out of creating good relationships with people, good trust with people. And while it's really important internally as you know, you try to navigate your way up the ladder to your organization, college, master's degrees or whatever it is, whatever courses you do, there's people there, like-minded people, create good relationships with them and you're really spreading your chance of doing things coming up and hopefully opportunities coming up and when the years go by, you know.
Yeah, as well, I think those networks are so important when you don't, you know, you're under pressure or you feel like you need a bit of support somewhere. Because, like, let's face it, the reality is we all find ourselves, you know, in processes that may not be necessarily comfortable. So for the HR people who find themselves in a situation where they're having to downsize or something like that and feeling immense pressure and the weight of the world in terms of what they have to do and how they have to do it, it really helps when you have other HR people that you can just reach out to and say, you know, how do you do this thing? Or I don't really know what I'm doing in this process. You know, where can I find information or who do you use to that has helped you? Or, you know, do you have any kind of advice for me on how I'd approach a project like this? And I think sometimes in HR, we don't ask enough. We don't say, well, I don't quite understand. What's everyone talking about with data analytics? I don't really understand. What is it? You know, what am I meant to be doing here? Or am I just nodding as if I'm part of an intelligent discussion about something that I actually understand what I'm doing? And I think too often we find ourselves in that role of, I know everything. And I should know everything. And I'm in HR. And, you know, instead of just saying, well, who around me can help me here to figure this out? Or where can I get the information from?
Some great tips there for any HR professional. Obviously, some really great insights and some really, I think, useful takeaways and tips for anyone thinking about either the next step in their career journey or even, as we said, just taking the time to reflect on their own career journeys and maybe talk about or think about the next small step they might take in their journey. I know as we spoke about on this podcast and actually on our recent webinar as well, Mary, I suppose HR profession is wide-ranging, many different types of roles, steps, journeys. But hopefully I think some of the points we spoke about today will really kind of share some guidance and will be useful to kind of HR professionals in any role out there. So thank you again, Mary and Brendan, for a very insightful discussion. Absolutely great talking to you both today. Thank you to everyone for listening. We'll catch you next week for the next installment of our podcast. So don't forget to click subscribe. Make sure to join the discussion on our social media channels. And as always, for HR consultancy services and management you can trust, get in touch with us today at insighthr.ie. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Brendan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.